Hello, everyone. Welcome to C-Suite Talks, a podcast that takes you inside some of the most interesting business and industries today. It explores career success and how we can make a difference. We invite you to join us on this journey, and welcome to C-Suite Talks. I'm Beth Hilbing.
And I'm Diane Gubin. We are co-directors of C-Suite. And this week, we are so excited to talk to Leslie Slay. Leslie is the vice president and a partner for employee benefits at Woodruff Sawyer. So welcome, Leslie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, ladies. Pleasure to be here.
Yay. Yeah. So, Leslie, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about the work you're doing.
Oh, gosh, do we have enough time? So personally, we could start there. So I'm married. I have four, I would say, almost adult children. They're pretending to be adults anyway. I'm the oldest of four girls. So that's interesting. So I have all boys, but I'm from a family of sisters, right?
Wow.
I know. Oh, that was a hard adjustment. It is. I love to read. I love to travel. Gosh, I love shoes. I have a shoe collection that's I haven't been able to wear in a year. So I have had to go in and dust them, actually. It was the oddest thing. I realized I had to dust my shoes the other day.
Do you know what? I had to do that, too. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe my shoes were so full of dust.
Crazy.
So we want to see that shoe collection, even though this is audio.
I can make that happen.
Yeah. So tell us about your chair companions.
My chair companion, so they actually have left the room just so that they do not interrupt this podcast. But I have two sheepadoodles. They're about 60 pounds. They think they're a lap dog. It'd be Miles and Macy. And they sit in my office. I have two wingback leather chairs. They sit there, one in each chair every day. And they listen to all my Zoom calls, all my meetings. And I think they're the smartest employee benefit consulting dogs on the planet. They just can't share that with you because unlike the internet viral dog Bunny, who actually can talk, that's something that the listeners can check out on Instagram, Bunny the Sheepadoodle. It's amazing. Bunny can use the buttons and talk on with her human.
What are we looking that up? So wait, Leslie, 60 pounds each or 60 pounds together?
They're 60 pounds each.
Each.
Wow, that's a big dog.
Wow. Mine are 150 pounds each.
Oh, that's really big.
They're hard to walk.
But they're just big love muffins. So yeah, they're good. Fun.
Exactly. So what is an employee benefits consultant?
I ask myself that question every
day. Yeah,
because
it does
change, right? So really what an employee benefits consultant is, or I guess I should say what I do, is that I work with companies, mostly larger organizations, companies with over 500 employees, but we work with all sorts of companies and help them figure out what they're going to be providing for their health insurance programs. And that runs the gamut from helping them design the types of benefits that they're looking to offer. That would be then working with carrier partners to figure out which networks and which products to put in place. And then that also entails the financing piece of it. How are they going to pay for it? There's lots of different ways to do that. And then finally, you can do all that, but if you don't communicate it well to the company's employees, you really haven't done your job. So there's a lot of right brain and left brain activity that goes on in my normal day around helping companies, you know, have successful employee benefit programs.
How do you report into the company? Who do you report into? Well, you're consultants, so you work with many companies, right?
Yeah, I work with many companies, so and all different types, right? So manufacturing, logistics, high-tech, life science, bioscience. And that's really a lot of fun because you really get to see the inside mechanics of how organizations are really different, but also how they're very similar. Typically, I will talk with and work very closely with the CHRO, the Chief Human Resources Officer, or maybe a VP of HR that might oversee the benefits. And then nowadays, because it's such a large spend, insurance is like the third largest spend of an organization's, right? spend that the CFO is almost always involved at some level in those conversations. So
right. So you're not putting pool tables in the break room then with employee benefits?
It's no.
Only the health insurance?
It's not. Although, you know, it's like I said, it's changed. It's the engagement piece. It's not pool tables in the break room. But there's a lot of, like, you know, air hockey and stuff like that that go on to ping pong tables. I don't necessarily place those, but you know, companies are looking for lots of different ways to keep employees excited, keep them engaged, and, you know, ping pong tables and really cool break rooms are, you know, could be a strategy.
I was just going to say, you need to work a little bit on the aerospace industry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We can help bring some fun to that. That's
good.
Yeah.
So are you doing culture or as part of the employee benefits? Is that what your company does too? Like Zappos? Have you been to Zappos?
I know a lot about Zappos because I mentioned shoes, right? So that was a good connection. Diane, you're on top of things. I like that.
Good tie-in.
No, I think a lot of about benefits is culture. And that's why I was saying that, you know, I've been in this career for, gosh, and I'm proud to say over 30 years. Thank goodness for Botox. You know, it keeps the lines a little fresher, but it's what I've done has changed literally, and it's morphed into not just about the program and the products. There's so much more that organizations have to consider, like culture, like experience, like recruiting and retention, like compensation, because all of this ties, you know, is intrinsically tied into what does that company want to look like when an employee shows up for work or, you know, candidate is interviewing, and it's all intermingled. So I end up spending a lot of time in an area that 10 years ago I probably didn't spend that much time in, which is culture and recruiting and retention and compensation surveys and things of that nature, so that companies know where they fit into maybe the competitive landscape, and they know where, you know, for example, they might want to go if they're maybe a newer organization and they're, you know, building their company and they're building their culture.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So what's the hardest part of what you do? That is an interesting question. We don't ask that often, but what is the hardest part of
what you do? Yeah, it sounds very paper intensive.
Well, it is. Well, you're talking about insurance carriers, right? Although they're getting better. And they are our friends. It is paper intensive. Lots of contracts review, lots of paper, lots of all that good stuff. For thank goodness, most of it's digital now, which is why I need glasses, because I can't see anymore.
Or readers.
I'm concerned that the readers that I like to buy, they're going to run out of the magnification that I need. That's my biggest fear in life. Like,
okay.
All of a sudden,
number ones.
Right? Oh, well, that's good for you. No, the hardest part about my job, I think, you know, what I like to do is really kind of solve problems. I'm a problem solver. A client will come to me and say, hey, I want to do this, or I want to try to be like this. And I think the hardest part of my job is that there are a lot of ways to get at the solution, whether it's through an insurance product or perhaps, you know, partnering with another vendor or helping them, you know, find the right resources, you know, but the budgets aren't unlimited, right? An organization only has so much to spend. So, you know, I think the hardest part is really that yin and yang of finding the right balance so they feel like they can offer what they want to be able to offer and afford it. Because healthcare keeps getting more and more expensive. I mean, every year it goes up 5 to 10%, depending upon the side of the country that you're on. We pay more in California for healthcare because it's sunnier here. So both, right. And MRI costs more when the sun's out. So of course, right. But, you know, it's what we call trend. So that's just what an MRI, for example, costs today. And that same MRI 365 days from now will cost, you know, 10% more. But, you know, that's a cost that's really hard for companies to continue to pay for.
Yeah,
you know?
5 to 10% a year. I mean, honestly, it's a huge expense. I know, having a company and having employees, it It is a lot.
So I just don't like to disappoint my clients, right? I work really super hard to try to give them what they want. And sometimes we're, well, I would say most times we're very successful in doing that. And that takes a lot of negotiation and a lot of asking for favors and being good friends of my carrier partners who are willing to take dollars and invest in the companies that we work for. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're not able to achieve exactly what they're looking for, I always feel like, darn it, you know, like I let somebody down and I hate to do
that's
that.
Good. Yeah. So how did you get started there?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you need a special degree for this?
Special degree. I wish I don't. I have an organizational development degree, so organizational psych, but there isn't a school for this type of career, which is really, or a degree. I think a management degree, I think a business degree is good. You really have to like people and you have to like numbers. So you have to kind of be like a people that are real successful, they have to have introvert and extrovert qualities a little bit, right?
right.
But I think to be really successful in this business, it's really strong project management skills. At my level, you know, being in the business for so long, I really am working primarily on strategy with my clients. It's not necessarily the day-to-day blocking and tackling. I have a team of very talented colleagues that support me in some of the more tactical side of what we do of HR and how employees interact with their employee benefits. So I spend a lot of time, you know, helping companies think about where they're headed and then being, you know, planning for that, not being behind the eight ball. But at the end of the day, you have to keep all of my role is to keep all the balls that are in the air flying. So if we have a technology project and we're working with a client on the benefit administration side of their HRIS system, that's a technology project. We might have a communications project running, which might be around launching a new mobile app or some of the artificial intelligence tools that we deploy with people making decisions. So we've got that project going. We might have my data team working on the renewal and giving me actuarial calculations on where we think we're going to be at the end of a year in terms of cost. So it's about making sure that everybody's kind of doing their job. And I always know that they are, but a good project manager has to make sure that they are and that we're going to deliver what we've promised to deliver to our customer.
That's great.
Wow. AI. What's the AI in there?
Artificial intelligence. This is one of my favorite. I have like little pet projects over my career that I have just fallen in love with. And, you know, health insurance is complicated. And quite honestly, the industry has made it that way. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves. And, you know, we ask employees that spend a whopping 10 minutes a year at a meeting or watching a webinar to make like super important decisions about the types of plans they're going to enroll in. And then we use stupid words that nobody understands, you know, coinsurance. Why can't you just say, this is the part that you pay, right? But we use all of these like words in three letters, you know, that don't mean anything. And so artificial intelligence is coming into the mix almost like the way that we profile somebody investing in a 401k. So we have organizations that we partner with that will deploy typically at open enrollment, but it's like a software program where the employee or the dependent answers a few questions. You know, are you covering just yourself? Are you covering a family? How often do you normally go to the doctor? Right? Kind of just some risk questions. You know, do you ride dirt bikes and do, you know, wheelies? You know, and then what the system does or the software with algorithms will help guide the employee to the most appropriate plan design offerings that they could enroll in. And so it's kind of like a behind the scenes coach a little bit. With a little bit of information, it helps the employee, I think, make better informed decisions about the plans that they have available to them and which ones are best for them. So I love AI.
Right. Well, you know, with what you said, it's so complicated. Honestly, we have Kaiser, and to me, it's so easy. You walk in the door, there's one place, you don't have a gazillion paperwork versus all that paperwork that comes in if you're with any of the other health insurance organizations.
It's gotten better, Diane. There's not as much paper any longer. And really, most of the organizations, and we're seeing a lot of kind of startup companies. There's a lot of, in fact, I'm excited about, we've got a future meeting coming up around health tech and insure tech and a lot of investment in new startup companies that are about healthcare and making the healthcare experience better. And so a lot of that is around just that frustration around, you know, you get something that says, looks like a bill, but then in big letters, it says, this is not a bill. But then down below it, it says, gives you a website to go to pay your bill, but it's not a bill. So it's like, well, what the heck is it, right? And so we're seeing a lot of insurance carriers and what we call third-party administrators, which are, if you're self-funded, they're kind of like the people that pay the claims. We're seeing those systems just become more friendly, less paper. We do a lot of work with employees in concierge call centers. So all of our clients have access from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday for their employees to pick up the phone and call somebody that can help interpret, right, the bill that they got, or help them understand their benefits so that doesn't get plugged into HR and HR doesn't have to deal with all those questions.
So, Leslie, let me ask you a question. So we interviewed the chief people officer for Playboy Entertainment, and she was mentioning that they offer the benefit for their younger employees or their employees that want to have children and they need some help with in vitro and so forth. What are you seeing as offerings or differences that are coming about in the last year or two for employers?
That's a really great question, Beth. There's a lot of what I call niche solutions or point solutions now that I'm looking at, that our clients are looking at. The infertility or the fertility space is a big one. We work with three or four different companies, all slightly a little different, but that don't, not just with the how to get pregnant type of thing, but you also have, you know, same-sex couples that are looking to for information about maybe adoption or surrogacy. You have, families looking to adopt. It's not just about the traditional, and then you've got, people that are having problems conceiving, and so the one thing that we've found out over the course of the last several years is that the health insurance carriers, they want to be all things to all people, but quite honestly, they can't.
Right.
For example, the fertility piece is a very specialized niche. And when you have a company like Carrot or Maven, and there's so many great ones out there, but that really handhold somebody going through that journey all the way through, they're going to have a better experience and a better outcome almost unequivocally. And we also run, we don't run as high of a risk, especially if you're dealing with fertility issues. And quite honestly, it's a well-known fact that at least here in the United States, most women are delaying childbearing, right, till much later than, 20 years ago even. And so that's
if at all, correct. Yeah,
that, or
yeah,
they get two dogs, right? Although, right, the best of both worlds. Or cats. I'm not, hey, I have lots of cat friend people out there.
Me.
But yeah, there we go. You are one of them. Yeah. So what I love about companies, especially around the fertility question or the fertility journey, is that it also helps to prevent some of the problems that we see at delivery. delivery, right? The prematurity, and it doesn't make them as high risk of a pregnancy. So love, love, love what we're doing in that space and helping clients bring those resources to their employees. But there's also a few others that I really kind of like. Nobody loves to go to physical therapy, and yet physical therapy can be really cost effective and oftentimes better than surgery, but surgery just seems easier because you can go into the surgery, right. And you check out and get it done. So now we're seeing companies that will have your physical therapist there with you, like a life coach on the phone. So you don't have to go anywhere, kind of like we were all working out in our houses this mm-hmm. last year, right?
We're doing that
telephonically. We're seeing microbiome health. So your gut health is a really cool.
That's important. Yeah.
Cool advancement. There's a company called Digby Health that's working with Blue Shield, and we can work with them directly. They will send a kit to your home, and with a swab and some genetic testing, you send it back, and then they can tell you exactly what your supplements should be or what type of foods you really should
That's
be eating.
Fabulous.
And it's like so much of chronic disease can actually be food related or can be fixed with the right type of supplements, but we don't know anything about that. So I love all of the different point solutions that are coming into the market. I think one of our biggest challenges, though, is to make sure what I like to do is look at data. So I'll look at claims data for my client to see where we might be having a disproportionate increase in claims. Is it in the maternity side? Is it in the mental health side? Is it related to, gastroenterology? And so I want to.
So what's the biggest trend? Wait, within that, you're seeing these trends. What are the trends?
Well, all of that. Mental health, big. This last year has just blown up, and it was mental health has been a problem for a long time and an underserved resources to get care in that space. Plus, I think it's been misrepresented. People think of mental health and they think of, I can name 20 movies, right? They think of, Jack Nicholas in that movie, Red Rum, and people that are just
The Shining,
right? People that are just off the rocker schizo. And that's not, that can be, but that's oftentimes not really what we're really talking about. So I think this last year has been a very eye-opening around mental health. We're seeing a lot of depression in our plans right now, my clients' plans. So, definitely we're trying to bring different resources in there to help make getting care, getting access to care, finding somebody to talk to just easier to do.
I decided right before COVID to go off all my menopause medicine because I didn't want to take any medicine anymore. I just wanted to be natural. Mm-hmm. And my husband goes, "Of course, you would choose that right before the lockdown." And I have to.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling good though?
Well, no.
Okay.
A little grumpy. You can live with that. Yeah,
I think that, well, let's talk about menopause for just a hot minute because talk about an underserved, that's a whole separate conversation, but I'm with you, sister, because I find that there's a lot of discussion and a lot of help for my colleagues that are, that are in their family planning stages. But for those of us that are, at the other end of the spectrum, I want grandkids. I mean, that's where I'm coming from, right? I want the granddaughter, and I've told my adult children that. And
no boys, only girls
for grandma. And I because I know a lot to be dangerous, I'm like, hey, if your company offers it and you can spin to get the right gender, I'm in there. And they looked at me like I did need some mental health medication. But menopause is really a conversation that is, and we're not talking about it. There's very few women, men, even my, you know, my OBGYN, who I'm changing, by the way, because I did not like the conversation I had with him last time I went. He kind of looked at me like I was the crazy one. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not the crazy one. You're the one that's not hearing me and not showing me any signs of empathy. Like, you get this. And so, yeah, I'm very interested in stepping up the conversation around menopause and just what women will go through and what they do go through and how it affects everything. And I'm hoping that we get some point solutions. If there's any startups out there, we get some point solutions out there.
All right. I want to know about menopause without the wrinkles, right? I want my any aging things to go away. I didn't age a year
collagen.
Or two ago. Why is it
collagen,
right?
Diane? Ingest more collagen.
Can you eat it?
Yes, you can. You can get protein powder. That's collagen packed.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I got to make a little note of that. Collagen.
Collagen.
So, but anyways. Okay. Go on, Beth.
Yeah. So, as a listener today, what do you think companies should be considering in 2021 and 2022?
My crystal ball. I'm asked to pull it out often, and I do. So, here's what I would share. First of all, I think, as we've just talked about, if you haven't revisited your mental health benefits and improved access either through adding virtual mental health or telehealth now, or increasing some of the levels of benefits to include situations that are not necessarily healthcare related. I always loved it when you had to go into, a psychologist's office and you had a family issue going on and they asked you if you wanted to be anxious or depressed, because they had to submit it, right? They had to submit the claim and you needed to have a health reason. So really take a hard look at your mental health benefits and make sure that they are speaking and reaching to your organization and not just your employees. It has to be for their dependents too. We come to work carrying all of it, whatever our family's going through, all of that stuff. And so it's important that, that's really taken in consideration.
You're only as happy as your least happy child.
Oh, that's funny, Diane. That's funny.
I took that to heart many times.
Yeah. No, I know. The other thing that I would think through for 21 and 22 would be to really look at the generations that you have in your workplace. Make sure that your benefits, and it's quite common, actually, where you get, a leadership team and they're thinking about how they would want to interact with benefits and the benefits that they might want. And I don't want to say that that's selfish, but sometimes it's not a good perspective. You really look at the generations that you have in your workforce, do a little work with your employee benefits consultant, take a look at the ages, take a look at what's trending in, those different age ranges and offer programs that, are meaningful to that group. Your 30 to 45 year olds usually are looking for programs that include some sort of family planning, that have, low cost coverage for all those office visits that the kids go to, right?
Right.
Benefit programs for your older employees, think about how you cover hearing aids. You don't need to be, 80. I know so many, because we listened to music very loudly when we were 20, or we attended all of those
lots
Metallica
of
concerts, yes. Right? Okay, yeah, just because we might be going through menopause does not mean that we're old. But there are different things, right, that as we age, we need. But my 26-year-old son is not interested in, spending a lot of money. So he's looking for, a plan that offers him a few preventive services a year and then would cover him if, in the event of a major accident or, God forbid, an illness, and it's not the bank of mom and dad that is going to bail them out. So
that's a good bank, though. I wish I had that.
Yeah,
bank.
I wish I did too.
But Diane can adopt me.
That
I didn't get the bank of mom and dad. I would say now's a good time. We learned a lot from last year. I would say the third thing that I would really get around my head around is, how are you communicating to your employees? Rethink if you're using pre-COVID strategies, if you're still thinking you're going to go back to the once a year open enrollment meeting and get people excited about being there, like, then we do need to talk about your mental health benefits, because that just is not working. It hasn't worked for a long time. So let's pretend, you know, that it is. So rethink how you communicate to your employees around their benefit programs and the value of those. Think about it like you see a medication commercial, right? You want on TV, you see them all the time, right? They advertise frequently and in prime time. So, you know, don't wait until once a year to get people excited about the programs that you offer. I mean, companies spend millions of dollars on these benefits, and, you know, again, communicate with them via text message, via email, via video, via however, you know, they need to do it, because we're all living off of our phone now, and the old fashioned memo and the meeting, it's just not cutting it.
So what's next for you, Leslie? Where are you going? What's on your career path or your personal path? What's next?
That's another good question that my husband and I are chit-chatting about. I love people, and I will always be somehow attached to kind of, I think, mentorship and development. I'm trying to impart some of my knowledge on some of my younger colleagues, so that's a lot of fun for me. I'm looking at maybe getting involved in some boards.
We have a Women in Boards initiative!
Our Boards initiative! Well, and it's something that I hadn't thought a lot about until I sat in on our call a couple of months ago, and I know we've got a whole group of ladies now kind of thinking through that and talking through that. But how can I've seen a lot in business, and I've worked with a lot of different kinds of companies, and I've, you know, lived through some of their struggles as well. And I think that if it's a new startup or a company that's just looking for someone to be a good thinker and help them with their journey, I think I could participate in something like that and have a lot of fun with. So, you know, those are a couple of the things that I'm looking to do kind of here in the next 5-6 years.
That's great.
Interesting. But if you're joining a startup board, don't give up your day job.
No. The other thing is I have an interior design credential. And so I do like to do some things in that space, although I need to work with people that can make quick decisions. And sometimes that can be a little frustrating, you know, because.
And money.
Yeah. And money, because it's expensive. But yeah, so I've thought about like being a closet designer. I know that sounds silly, but I could just go and help people get organized and make their closets beautiful and then leave. So, I mean, I know that. Who knows? Who knows where I'm going to show up?
Leslie, the vice president.
Coming to a door near you.
Your closet. You know? I think you're in a good spot right now.
I love what I do. I really do love what I do.
We can tell. You're very passionate about it.
Well, I get to help companies solve problems. And
Yeah, and so many changes in the industry. I mean, honestly, you are forefront on this.
So, Leslie, as we wrap up today, what is one thing that you'd like the audience to take away from your journey in your career, if they're thinking of going down the same career path? What's one tip or advice you'd give them?
Yeah. So first of all, do find something you love to do. I fell into this business. It was my first full-time job. Basically, I had no idea what an account manager was. I walked in, they hired me. I couldn't type for beans, but somehow it worked out. So, but this career has allowed me to I think do something kind of significant. I've been involved in some really amazing stories along the way of helping people prolong their life. And, you know, I like to say I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. You know, it's been really rewarding from that perspective. I've gotten to be able to kind of have a really great work-life balance. And I know that's a term that's overused a lot, or people go, well, what is that? And I mean, I raised a family.
I think you know it when you have it.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to be room mom, you know, I was able to bring cupcakes to school. I was at all the soccer games. I mean, so what I like about this career is that it does allow you to work smart and be invested in something that is pretty meaningful. At the same time, I've met some great people along the way, really smart people, and just super fun companies to work with. And watching little company like Skechers, when they were the tennis shoe company, they were 5 employees, you know, and now, you know, the organization that they've become. And so, you know, you don't know exactly every client that you run into is going to be something like that, but you kind of get invested in what they're doing and their mission. And that's been a lot of fun. So if you like to be, if you're creative, you like to work hard, you have a penchant for numbers because you have to be able to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. I would say algebra, well, you'd be surprised.
I know.
Algebra,
I know.
Is, you got to be able to say X plus Y, right, equals Z. You've got to be able to figure out the formula. But if you can do that and you have, and you like people, because there are a lot of people in this business, not just your clients, but all of their employees, right?
Right.
Not that you talk to all of them, but you kind of have to think about, like, you're kind of taking care of them. Then this would be a great career for somebody to investigate and look into. There's never a dull moment. I mean, it changes all the time, and I don't think it's going to be going away anytime soon. We do have, obviously, there's, you know, been lots of discussion over the years around the government, you know, providing expanded Medicare, Medicaid, and some of that may come true. And I think that there's a reason to do that and some really good reasons to do that if we could afford it. So that's always the big question.
Right, right.
But even with an expanded government reach, there's going to be a lot of organizations out there that are still going to need that help and expertise to help them solve additional problems and to meet the needs of their workforce. So I'm happy to talk to anybody that is even has an inkling that this might be something that, you know, they're interested in, and answer any questions that they might have.
Fabulous.
Okay, that was great. So thank you so much. And Leslie, we want to thank you for having us today and to be with us on our podcast, C-Suite Talks. Leslie Slay is one of our sponsors, and we want to thank our sponsors with Woodruff Sawyer Employee Benefits. So check them out and check the company website out. We also want to thank Google, Converge Technology, which is an IT solutions provider, and Manette, which is a very large law firm, and Diane's firm, Amplified Professional Services, which is an executive search and IT consulting company. So take a look at those websites and get familiar with our sponsors. And thank you for listening today to us.
Yes. Thanks, ladies.
Yes, this was fantastic. Thank you, Beth. So anyway, as we leave today, hit the subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you find your podcasts. Do leave us a review. We love reviews. Follow us on social media. We're all over LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Or send us an email at media@csweet.org. And of course, check out our website. And again, that's www.csweet.org. And that's it for today. Thank you and bye.